to do this morning. Just take just a few minutes. If you know you come here to church regular, you know that all our sermons are not alike, and they shouldn't be. So I'm not going to be as loud and boisterous as usual. I'm going to try to be still here and talk to you for just a few minutes this morning, and then say a few things that I feel like should be said as we honor our mothers. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. See that, don't you, fellas? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. It's interesting to me that one of the 10 most important things God ever said to human beings, one of them was to honor thy father and thy mother. Today, I'd like you to go with me in your memory, and I want to use mine, to honor, as God commanded us, our mothers. You see, this thing of honoring a mother is not a thing to be taken lightly. You listen to me? Every person here is commanded by God in the Bible to honor your mother. Honor your mother. My earliest memories of my mother was when we lived in a little house down here in Clinchville, which we moved when I was 6. We moved down there to Nebo. And so from the time I was just a little till the time I was 6 years old, we lived over in Clinchville. I went to the first grade at Clinchville School, and the second grade started at Nebo. I just remember my mom of the morning when I'd wake up. And I used to wake up real early when I was little. 6 o'clock, 6:30, I was wide awake. I always wanted to get up to see what was going on in this world. I remember before the sun would even come up part of the year, and I'd smell something when I was waking up. You remember smelling something waking up? The best smell you've ever smelt in your life is bacon frying in the morning coming through the coming through the down the hall into your bedroom, especially if there's gravy and biscuits. My soul. Isn't that a blessing? My mom can make some wonderful biscuits. My mom makes great biscuits. This week when I was preaching up in Kentucky, they took me to the original Kentucky Fried Chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken began in Corbin, Kentucky. I didn't know that. They said, "We're going to take you to where it all began." And I said, "Well, let's go." They took me to a little restaurant, and they remodeled it and made a museum out of it now. It's called Sanders Court. That's what it's called to begin with. A fellow named Harlan Sanders run it. And it had in glass museum there, it had all kinds of newspaper articles, and he had a little motel there. Old Harlan Sanders did, and he started making chicken. And they had the first barrel of flour they ever used, you know, or something like that, and the spoons and forks from the original one there, and the Colonel's secret recipes for this and that. And little by little, they started calling it Colonel Sanders chicken. And that was very interesting. I read some of the things there, and I looked, because I'm always interested in how somebody just pops up out of nowhere like that, and now he has those things worldwide. You go everywhere. They're everywhere now. So I'm in Haiti. They're in Germany, Russia, places like that. And so we eat there. And I thought, this ought to be the best chicken I ever eat in my life. That's where it started. And so we got our orders and eat there. And it was good chicken, but the biscuits wasn't good as my mom's. I'll guarantee you they wasn't. Boy, my mom used to make biscuits. They was delicious when they was hot. And buddy, you'd put butter in them. And you just see that butter, when you'd hold it up, it just runs down your fingers. That's when it's getting good. When that stuff starts oozing out of there and going down your fingers, brother, you know you're getting close to God. I mean, it's just like heaven. And Mom, put out a bunch of them. Still, to this day, Mom asks me what I want for Christmas. I say biscuits and gravy and country ham. Man, oh man, ain't a steakhouse can touch that, are they? If it's the right kind of gravy. I don't want that old stuff like they think. They don't even know what gravy is up north. Most of the people don't. You can see through it. It's got water in it or something. That ain't the kind of gravy I'm talking about. I'm talking about real gravy, brother. I mean the kind you can sop. And the biscuits were just as good after they got cold. After they got cold, I mean, you can do all kinds of things with them. You can cut them in two. And when you cut them in two, and I've never have been a big tomato lover, but you put a tomato in there with salt and pepper and biscuit, you ain't going to beat it. I'm telling you, you ain't going to beat it. Oh, my soul. Let's hurry up and get through here. And I remember it seemed like Mom would set me on the... we had a countertop or something. I can't remember. It was like a cabinet or something. And I'll tell you, you see my picture in the church directory. That's the way I looked then. And where's Adam at? He was up here running around. Stick him up here a minute there, Mr. President. He was running out there. That reminded me of me when I was little. That's the way I had my hair cut when I was little, just like his. Oh, he's conked out. And that's the way I was. And Mom would set me on the counter, and my feet, you know, I remember they'd dangle like that. And I'd sit there, and I'd watch her put those eggs in the frying pan. And I'd watch her. Do I ever remember getting up, and my mom still laying in the bed at 11, 12 o'clock? No. No. Something's happened to these weird moms we got nowadays. You say, well, she's sick. She's up anyway. If my mom was ever sick when I was little, we didn't know it. She wouldn't tell us. And I know a lot of times she was. You think my mom lay in the bed at 11 o'clock and then turn the TV on and lay there two more hours after she woke up? No way. My mom drank a beer. When the Pope becomes a Baptist, that's when that'll happen. You think my mom would go dancing? Brother, when the NAACP and the KKK merge together, that's when you'll find my mom out dancing. Thank God I had a mama like that. Thank God. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for people that don't have a mama. In the morning, she was a chef.
You think of all the things. A lot of these women nowadays say, oh, well, I don't want to be tied down to a bunch of snotty-nosed kids. I'm going to go out and get me a career. Listen, the greatest career any woman can have is raising kids and keeping a household and raising them kids for God, being a good wife. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. You can't beat it. My mom was a chef when she cooked in the morning. My mom was a nurse when I got hurt. We'd slide down. Remember, we used to go out in the yard and roll down the hill, and I just wore old shorts. That's all I had on. I'd take my shirt off. I always took my shirt off when I was little. And we'd go out and play in the yard, and somehow or another, what we thought was fun was rolling down the front yard. And to me, I can't imagine doing that now, on a bare back. But when we was little, we'd go out and roll down the front yard, and just roll down the front yard. We was having a good time till we got through. Boy, there's something about that grass, man, on your back. That it's, if you've never done that, you don't want to, believe me. It's almost, you got some kind of itch or something. It breaks you out. And when it was that time, Mom was a nurse. And put us in a tub, scrub us down. We'd slide in down and get a put a strawberry on our elbow. She is the one that would nurse it. She was our nurse. When I was little, they used to put that red stuff, the orange, with all that, what did they call that stuff? Methylate, yeah, Mercurochrome, all that. Didn't matter what was wrong with you, that's what they'd done to you. I don't care what it was. I mean, you remember seeing kids come to school, have a big red, all that, all over their elbow. Methylate, Mercurochrome, I don't know what it was. I don't even know if people still use that anymore. But I tell you what, brother, somehow or another, she'd take that little thing like a medicine dropper and rub that thing over it, and it seemed like it'd make it well. I don't know. It seemed like it did then. Mom was a psychologist when you had a problem. Mom was a surgeon when you got a splinter in your finger. I used to hate that, didn't you? I still cannot hardly stand to get a splinter in my finger. One time I was in a trailer, mobile home. Somebody, one of the kids throwed a ball behind the couch or something, and I reached down behind the couch, and I was going to reach down there and get that. You know that old paneling in trailers? Got them. I run my hand real far down like that and went right up in my fingernail. A big one, man, right up in there. I thought I would die. You could look in there and see that splinter stuck way up in there. I said, well, I might as well get this over with. The longer you leave it in there, the more it's going to hurt. Best thing to do is just get a hold of it with the tweezers and just pull it right out there just the same way it went in. I just stick a safety pin in there and dig and dig and dig and dig. You just might as well go up, get them out when they get in there, because the longer you leave it in there, the worse it's going to hurt. Ain't that right? Mom did all those things for us. Mom was a barber when my sister's hair needed cutting. She's a cobbler when our shoes was tore up. And some of you remember even time when they put shoes that have holes in them, they put cardboard in there. She was a tailor. Any time you had to hem your pants or hem your shirt or anything like that. She was a dentist when you had the toothache. People didn't used to just run to the dentist for every little thing, doctor, back years ago. And then when some of you were growing up and some of my mother's going, none of them went to the dentist. You went out and broke you off a birch limb and you chewed on it for a little while and made you a toothbrush out of a birch limb. And Daddy said, that's why they never had no toothbrushes when they was growing up. You say, how'd they keep their teeth? They didn't eat 15 candy bars every day like people get to now. And a lot of them still didn't keep their teeth. Do you remember, now I never had this done to me, but I've had people tell about it, how that when they pulled teeth from this little, what you done, doors were heavy back then. It wasn't light like them there. They tied a string to your tooth that was hurting. Then they tied the other end of the string to the doorknob. Anybody ever had that done to you? Raise your hand. Look at that. See, you dumb young people, you just don't know what's going on. They tie one end of the string to your teeth. Then they tie the other end of the doorknob. They'd say, all right, honey, open your mouth. All right. And then they just slam the door, and there go your teeth. It's like that. I tell you what really made it bad is when the tooth wasn't really loose enough and your head hit the door. Sorry, son. Let's try that again in a few weeks. Mom was a judge when we had fights. Daddy's always off gone somewhere running dogs or something. When we had fights, me and my sisters used to fight. Oh, it's awful. We fought over the candy bars. We fought over the Pepsis. We used to fight over the couch. We was watching TV. Fought over the couch. We'd draw a line. You cannot come across that line right there. Boy, if my sister's toe went across that line. Mom! She's on my side. We should have had the fire slapped out of us. But Mom was always the judge, just like standing in the courtroom. She was executioner when it come time for punishment. She's a baker. You remember that? I tell you, I still believe. My mom taught me how to make snow cream. She made the best snow cream ever. She makes the best chocolate candy, fudge candy. I've been all over Gatlinburg, and I've been to the candy stores, and I've never tasted chocolate fudge as good as what Mom makes. Now, I'll tell you something. Me and my sisters, when she made fudge, it was a treat. It still is. Every once at Christmas, I tell her, she says, "What do you want?" So make me some of that candy and send it over here. And we fight now in my house over that stuff. My girls, I have to hide it from them almost, keep them from eating. We used to. I hide it so I can get it when I get ready. I love that stuff, man. That's good stuff. And she'd have the pan like this, and what was in the pan seemed like it was better than what was on the plate. And we'd say, "I get the pan." We get a spoon and just scrape and scrape. Listen, don't you remember back when everything seemed like the whole world was all right back then, didn't it? Seemed like as long as you had your mama, as long as you were in the kitchen, and it was warm and there was food, seemed like there wasn't a problem in the world. You remember them good old days? Man, we'd put our fingers down in that. Boy, when they're making cake, you get to take your fingers down in there, go around that bowl. Man. Oh, you poor, pitiful young people now, I feel sorry for you. All you got is babysitters and Skittles. You never ate no fresh cake or candy. That's pitiful. When I was growing up, we didn't know what daycare was back then. Didn't know there was such a thing. I couldn't imagine my mom running off and leaving us every day. I couldn't imagine it. Honor her. My mom was a teacher. She was a theologian, buddy. She was a friend. When we wanted to play checkers or something, and I didn't know how busy she was. She'd get out and check. "Mom, play one more game with us. Play just one more." "Oh, honey, I'm tired." "Mom, read me one more story." And she'd sit there and read, her eyes would be burning. And all three of us piling her lap. I was a baby, my two sisters older than me, and we'd all sit on Mom like that, and she'd take them the stories out and read us of the Bible or something like that. Best Bible teacher I ever heard. She is a preacher. Her sermons still ring in my ears. "Danny, you better watch it." She preaches to me now every time I'm around. "Danny, you watch out now. You're building that school out there, and if you're going to keep having these youth rallies, you're going to have to fill a place." I hear it in my ears. "Have you eaten anything today?" "Mom, as old as I am, you think I forgot to eat?" She still worries about whether I'm going to eat or not. "Son, you're going to have to slow down now. Son, she tells me that all the time." I said, "Mom, I can't." She said, "Son, you're not going to be able to do it always like you're doing." And I know, but I'm going to do it while I can, Mom. She said, "Mom, son, you better do this. Son, you better do that." Boy, she'll preach you some sermons. She was a launderer. She washed all our clothes. She hung them out on the line. She didn't have a dryer. Then she ironed every one of them. My mom ironed blue jeans. Really? Still does to this day. She ironed my daddy's blue jeans till dad passed away. Ironed blue jeans, man. I don't know. I tell you, brother. They just don't make them like that no more, hardly. She is our protector. I was thinking about that storm last night. Boy, it got dark last night in that storm. That lightning and thunder hit. Man, it started getting spooky there. But somehow, when we was little, it started getting real dark outside. All of a sudden, a big crack of lightning and thunder like that, boy. And it started getting rough. Like that. What would Mom always say? Mom say, "Son, you just get in here. Don't stand in front of that screen door. I heard about a little kid that was struck by lightning like that." Did they ever tell you that? "Man, I got away from that door like that, buddy. So I ain't getting struck by no lightning." And you know what Mom would always tell us to do? What did she tell you to do? See if she done like me. We all go in the bedroom and lay on the bed, didn't we? I mean, all of us. We'd all lay down. She said, "You stay here on this bed till this storm's over. Safest place to be is right here." I don't know if it was or not. That's what. And it seemed like as long as Mom was there, we was laying. Well, I tell you, if you ever been at home by yourself and a big storm come up like that, it's scary when Mom ain't there. Now, Mom ain't going to keep you from getting struck by lightning, but it seems a lot more safe when she's around. Y'all help me now, please. I'm just talking to you. She is our protector. We're going to honor her. How can I honor my mother this morning? How can you honor your mother this morning that went through the jaws of death so that you could have life?
You honor her, first of all, by preparing to meet her. Now, let's face it. Even though my mother, to me, looks the same now as she did when I was little, to me she does. I can't tell she's changed any. The truth is, I don't know how old she is now. 63, I think, something like that. They're not going to be here forever. Eyes is not as sharp as they used to be. Steps not as brisk as it once was. And moms are leaving. And I'm going to tell you what this morning, my mom knows this. She knows I failed in a lot of things in my life and I'm not everything I should be as a son and all of that. But she knows many years ago I got it fixed. I'm going where my mama's going. I'm going right where my mama's going. How about you?
Best way you can honor your mother is meet her in heaven one of these days. You say, my preacher, my mama's done dead. She's gone. Mama's gone on to heaven. Let me tell you something. You dishonor your mother when you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to get saved. This man lay dying one time on his deathbed. He had a bunch of sons. And as he lay there dying, his first son came by and he said, Daddy, I'm going to miss you. And he said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. The next son came by and he said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. The next son came by and he said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. The next son came by and he said, good night, son. I'll see you in the morning. Finally, the last son came by and he said, Daddy, I love you and I'm going to miss you. And he said, goodbye, son. And the son stopped and he said, but Daddy, you told all my brothers good night and I'll see you in the morning. You just told me goodbye. Daddy, why would you tell me goodbye? He said, son, because you're not saved. You're not going to heaven where I'm going. And he said, son, when I die, it's the last time I'm ever going to see you. It's goodbye to you. I'll never see you again. And the boy said, Daddy, please tell me good night. I'll see you in the morning. Daddy, please tell me good night. I'll see you in the morning. He said, son, I can't. That's up to you. He said, all I can tell you is goodbye because I'll never see you again. And you're sitting here this morning, friend, and you're not saved. You'll never see your mother again. And you dishonor her. You bring shame in the name of your mother if you say, I'm going to live my own life. There ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own boss. You dishonor your mother, and God commanded you to honor thy mother. Boy, that boy got to feeling bad. You know what he done? He fell down on his face and got saved. He said, now, Dad, tell me good night. I'll see you in the morning before Daddy went on. Greatest thing you can ever tell your mother is, Mother, I'll see you there. I'll be there. They said that one of our great songs in the hymn book is called Tell Mother I'll Be There. I don't know if it's in our book. It was one of the great hymns of the church. And they said it was President McKinley many, many years ago was traveling. They just traveled by train mostly then. And word got to him by telegraph that his mother was dying. And they said McKinley sent a telegraph. Somebody said, tell Mother I'll be there before she dies. And the newspapers printed that all across the country. McKinley says, tell Mother I'll be there. And some gospel songwriter got a hold of that and he wrote a song that said, tell Mother I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, this message to her blessed Savior bear, tell Mother I'll be there. Heaven's joy with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. I want to tell you, bless your heart this morning. You ought to be able to look at your mom and say, Mom, when this life is over and we've lived our last day and time is gone and we're laying in the grave, I'll be there. I'll see you over in glory one of these days. We'll be back together. You honor her by preparing to meet her. You honor her by doing God's will. How can you say thank you for all the washing and ironing? By doing God's will for your life and letting her say, son, I'm proud of you. My mom, once in a while, she'll write me a card for my birthday or something like that. And she'll say, She fusses at me when I'm in person, but she's nice to me in cards. And she'll say, son, I'm so proud that God let me have a boy that turned out to be a preacher, and I'm proud of you, the ministry, and all the things that's going on, and all of that. And I think, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd rather my mom be able to say that about me than to her to be able to say my son is a movie star or a millionaire somewhere and living like a devil. You honor your mother by doing God's will for your life. And then you honor your mother by caring for her. You listen to me this morning. You listen to me. God have mercy on these people nowadays that just forget mom when she's old so they can go off and do their own thing. You're a sorry excuse for a human being if you'll deliberately let your mother do without while you're out gallivanting around partying and living it up. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Brother, my philosophy is if we eat, she eats. If we got a warm house, she's going to have a warm house. We food on our table, they're going to be food on hers. If we're warm, she's warm. Hey, if we get air conditioned, she can have air conditioned. Oh, they're old, them old people don't like air conditioning. You tightwad, you, do something for your mother. You ought to be ashamed. I'll guarantee it's the other way around. When you was growing up, she'd have done without to give you something. You know what I heard? Broke my heart. Down here, not too far from here, an elderly woman was cold in the winter and had to burn wood to try to stay warm in a little old frame house, and her boy lived right over from her, and she'd have to call her boy to beg him to bring her a load of wood because she's not able to get it, and her boy would bring her a load of wood and charge her for it so he could go live his own life and do his own thing. You complain about her ailments? Just remember, she sure put up with your snotty nose when you was growing up. Or she'd have just throwed you down and said, I want to go have a party. I don't want to be bothered with this little brat. You ran to her with every little old scratch and everything, and then fussed because you say, all mama does is fuss and complain all the time. Yeah, I know, and that's all you done when you was little, and she listened to every bit of it. You say, she's childish. Maybe she is. So were you one day. And she's stuck right with you. You have no patience to walk with her across the street. She's too slow. She slows you down. Well, there was a time when you waddled across there. And she took time. She gave up going places to be with you. So I say in closing this morning, you have a smile for mom, give it now. You have a kind word, speak it now. She'll not need it when the angels greet her at the golden gates. Honor her while she's living. Before long, it'll be too late. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We're going to do a little bit different this morning. Thank God for mothers. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to choose that you're going to be saved and you're going to meet your mother in heaven one day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Play softly this morning. I want you to search your heart. The question I want to ask you this morning, friend, is if you died today, would you meet mom in heaven? Would you? Some of you think, you know what? You're brainwashed by this world. The most important thing in this world is where you're going to go when you leave here. That's the most important thing. Because you are going to leave. Everybody's going to die. And if you've not made your preparations to go, why don't you do it this morning? While we pray, right now, right where you sit, ask Jesus Christ, save your soul, come into your heart. And Lord, tell Mother I'll be there and answer to her prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you'd speak to every single heart here this morning. Even if there are those here this morning just out of curiosity or skepticism, or maybe they just come to see what was going on, I pray you'd speak to their heart. Help them to realize that
If they had a dear mother that lived for you and served you, that they've been a rich person. Maybe didn't even realize it. I pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, that you'd save that soul that's lost. You'd touch that life. Move in that heart right now. And if there's a mother here this morning who the devil has tricked and deceived, and she's messed up her life, help this to be the wonderful day that she'll thank God for her church, her mother, her husband, her kids, her Bible, her salvation, and the Lord, that her life will be got right with you today, where the only true peace and happiness is. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.